Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Kristen Pahacek, and today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, 1UpWeb, and Answer Connect. Today, human contact is more important than ever, so make sure a live person answers your phone every time. Answer Connect makes that happen for franchises every day with a team of professional customer service experts ready to impress your callers around the clock. Answer Connect works with many franchises and small businesses who need 24/7, 365 phone coverage, lead intake, appointments scheduled, or basic messages. They integrate with many of today's CRMs, which is just one more thing off your plate and one more opportunity for you to work on your business. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. For today's Marketing Monday, Kristen Pahacek is back. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hi, Jack. I'm doing well. I'm in snowy Wisconsin. It's coming, folks. Buckle up.
What else would you expect in 2020, right?
Honestly, I don't know what's coming next, but if you're anything like I am, I'm just, you know, waiting until the next thing comes and hits us.
And I'm sure it will. Well, we did get quite a few things off of our plate last week and got some great information from some friends with the IFA MOD conference, the Marketing Operation Development Conference. I had a good time. I hope you did.
Oh, it was so great. So refreshing to see the faces again and to have the conversations that we all have missed so much. And
yeah,
MOD was really about the conversations, not talking heads. So I was really thankful.
Yeah. And my one complaint, I think after it was all over, I know you and I worked on this for quite a while, and a lot of people on the IFA marketing committee worked on this for, you know, several weeks, and the IFA staff did a great job. But I kind of felt like, wow, this could have been longer, right? This could have gone on, you know, maybe an extra day. I don't know if everybody else is down with that, but I could have used, I think, a little bit more time with the franchise family on the MOD event. So for everybody listening from the IFA, let's make it a little longer next
one
time.
More okay? Day.
One more day. And by the way, before we get into today's topic, I wanted to mention that thanks to our friends at Facebook Memories, I got served up a memory this morning. Guess where we were 1 year ago today?
Were we in Austin? Where were we?
Austin, Texas at the MITCON event with the franchise marketing folks. So a year ago, we were still in Austin, seeing people live, standing on a stage. Remember stages? Remember hotel coffee? You know, like.
Take me back, Jack. Yeah. Honestly, what I would do for a trip to Austin right about now.
Right. Just to eat hotel food that isn't really that good.
Sounds great right now.
Yeah, it sure does. We will be back there someday soon, I am sure. Today we wanted to talk about kind of a unique relationship in the franchise space between the franchisor and their supplier partners. And I really appreciated you coming up with this topic because I think it's really timely now to talk about how to really form a partnership between the supplier and the franchisor. So I don't know where you would like to start, but I would love to hear your thoughts and get some good advice and tips for everybody out there.
Yeah, you know, I think the first place to start is how do you even decide, hey, it's time to bring in a partner? And by the way, partner was a very strategically chosen word in that last sentence. You know, you'll never hear me call them vendors. And hopefully after this session here, yeah, you will understand the why behind that. But you really are looking for a partner in business. And when you decide that it's time to bring on outside help, it's a big decision. And there's a variety of reasons that you might decide that. I think the first is just you're not getting what you need from your internal team, right? Or the work that you're bringing in a partner to do is outside of your team's knowledge. If your team doesn't know how to build a website, you probably shouldn't have them research how to build a website, right?
Yeah. Why do people do so much work in-house that maybe they're mediocre at best, and they just refuse to look outside and bring in some external help? Is it due to the money? Is it due to a control issue? What do you think?
Yeah, I think both of those things are probably very valid reasons. I think the other thing is that marketing execs, myself included, we want to have little marketing unicorns that can do a little bit of a lot of things so that we don't have to spend a lot of money on outside partners. So it's a dream for us to find people or to grow people who can play in all different areas of marketing. But again, depending on what you're trying to do, that might just not be the best use of your team's time. Mm. And you could end up falling short of what your goal is.
And I would think now, especially during and hopefully soon after the pandemic, with so many people shuffling the deck and having a different structure in place with their marketing team or other teams, there may be some teams that used to have four people on the marketing team and now they really only can afford to have two full-time people. Does that open them up then for, you know, maybe being a little bit more open to looking for some outside resources?
I think so. I think you're going to start to see teams who are, to your point, a little bit forced to go outside of their internal workings and seek some additional help outside. I think the other thing to pay attention to on the franchisor side is really taking a look at your team and identifying, is my team focused on strategy and goals and reporting, or are they so wrapped up in the day-to-day tasks to even get the work done that they almost have blinders on as to whether it's working or not? And whether you bring in a partner on the strategy side or the execution side, sometimes that can help to alleviate that team to focus on either the strategy or the tasks, that you can make sure that you're going forward with a plan instead of just crossing things off of a checklist.
Yeah, I think we say this a lot to franchisees about not working in their business, but working on their business. And I think that's something that a lot of franchisor companies should think about internally for their teams as well. They should be working on the marketing analysis and strategy and the big picture stuff and not spending all day with, you know, targeting ads and you know, doing their Google Ads stuff and pushing out emails and things like that, especially if you have somebody who's a more senior level person and they really could help you with the strategy. Don't give them a stack of things to do that you could easily outsource.
Right. Yeah. And that's going to look different for everybody. I mean, there's going to be some things in your business that, you know, you have somebody who's really good at that particular thing. And although some businesses may outsource it, it may not be in your best interest to outsource it. But for the vast majority of specialties in business, it's something that you should really take a look at and determine whether or not you really want to be spending time learning a specialty.
When you're choosing a partner, what are the types of things that you look for and how do you go about that process?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I look at is the work that I need done. So there are full service agencies out there, and then there are very specialized agencies out there. You can either get a marketing agency that does it all or does one thing really well. And it can be somewhat confusing and overwhelming on the franchisor side to identify what you need, right? The best piece of advice that I can give is, regardless if you go specialty or full service, you really need to take a look at what's the most important thing that you need. And that needs to align with whoever you're choosing, their biggest strength. So if I'm looking for a new website, I need to find a partner that their largest strength is web design, right? You don't want to marry up with somebody who does it all, but does it all, you know, in a mediocre sense.
Yeah.
If what you're looking for is super, super important.
Where do you tend to fall on that? Do you tend to go with a more inclusive, you know, sort of turnkey type agency, or have you typically gone with, you know, more specialty partners who, you know, do specifically websites well, or specifically pay-per-click or social, or, you know, whatever you're looking for? Which way have you kind of gone lately?
You know, I've gone with both. I think it really does depend on the brand and what the brand needs. There are absolutely benefits to having kind of a one-stop shop for your marketing or whatever you're looking to, you know, get help with. There's advantages there in terms of them knowing your business and understanding your goals and the way that you work. But there are also so many advantages to going to the best social media firm or the best SEO firm. And if you're looking for a singular thing, you may consider going to just a specialized agency that's really, really good at one thing. But if you're looking for help in multiple areas and you're really trying to string together your channels in a way that's cohesive, the one-stop shop might be the option for you. And I think it's dependent on your business, not necessarily dependent on how you feel about those two particular offerings. Mm-hmm.
Do you typically end up spending more if you go with multiple specialties for different areas as opposed to a one-stop shop, or do I have that backwards? What does that typically look like?
Yeah, I think you should expect to spend more if you're going to multiple specialties in order to build out your strategy. But I also think that you should expect a higher level of service and a greater end result as well, right? Mm, if you're bringing in the best of the best of the best, you should get the best, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing to take into account, Jack, is having 7 agencies on your marketing strategy, I mean, that's a lot to manage. So it's a fair amount of internal work that goes into that type of strategy as well.
Yeah, that's a lot of conversations that you have to have with people every week instead of just having one conversation, right?
Yep, absolutely. Those conversations, I think it leans into the culture that you have with the partner, right? It needs to be super important. And one of the first things that I think about when I'm choosing a partner is, do I like them? Like, would I have a coffee or a beer with them? Because if the answer is no, I don't really want to work with you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I call it the airport test. Do you think you could get stuck in an airport with this person for a very long delay and not go crazy? Because the reality is, you probably will get stuck in the airport with them at some point, you know, going to and from a conference or, you know, a meeting or something like that. So, yeah, I love that idea of working with people who you can get along with, you can travel with, you could definitely, you know, spend some time over dinner with if need be.
Absolutely. I'm totally in alignment. That relationship building has to come first.
Yeah. And I do want to dive a little deeper into the relationship building part of it. One other note that I'll put on the idea of a one-stop shop. When you're talking to suppliers and partners who offer this sort of one-stop shop, ask them if they outsource their work to other agencies. I'm seeing this more and more and more of partners getting together and, you know, you do this part and I'll do the websites and somebody else will do something else. And then we'll white label it. So it looks like it's all coming from my brand or whatever. Be careful with that, because you're going to end up with a lot of the same issues that you would have if you ended up working with a whole bunch of different specialty agencies yourself.
Yeah, I think if you're in that scenario, you've got to really hone in on the project management capability of that agency that is contracting out to other agencies and ensure that the communication is super strong. Because to your point, otherwise, you're going to end up with kind of a person in the middle that doesn't necessarily need to be there.
Yeah. So let's get back to the relationship building part. What can someone on the partner side do to strengthen that relationship?
The best advice that I can give is to remind us as your client that you're humans. And I know that sounds silly, but it gets lost, right? And especially because we're in this virtual scenario, we forget or don't necessarily have at the top of our minds that you are humans. And so one thing that I like to do with my partners before even diving into work is ask a silly question, like, if you were a food, what would you be? Or tell me about your best vacation, and have everybody in your meeting kind of go around the circle and answer a question before even diving into to work, just as you may be doing in your team meetings, to kind of like level set and to build that relationship that is likely lacking a little bit, because the on-site quarterly business reviews or on-site meetings really aren't happening right now.
Yeah. And you know what else is not happening? We talked about, you know, breaking bread or having coffee or being in the airport. You're not doing dinners and lunch and, you know, all of that kind of thing, either out somewhere at a restaurant or bringing food into the client's location. So that kind of breaking bread, you know, sitting around the table, chatting about things other than business, like you tend to do when you're having lunch, we're missing out on that. Now it's typically Zoom call, get down to the point, talk business. And, you know, you may see the inside of their kitchen or family room over Zoom, but you're probably not spending that sort of extra time building the relationship. And I think if I totally agree, if the partners can show a little bit more of that human side, it is a reminder, now that we're all just faces on screens, that, you know, we are all human, and that's who people want to do business with.
Absolutely. The other thing that I would add is, you know, just the same as we all don't want to have an employee who sticks only to the confines of their job description. You know, we don't want to have partners that stick to the confines of the agreement, right?
Yeah.
So I would give some advice to go above and beyond, especially during these trying times. We're looking for support. We want our partners to share in our wins and our losses, right? And to feel them. So I think that that's really important too.
That's a really good point. I think every client out there is going to remember how their partner made them feel during this pandemic and lockdown, and however long this is going to continue, everyone's going to remember those relationships. And did somebody step up? Did somebody help me with something? Did somebody, you know, call to check in to see how my team's doing, you know, during this? Like, that's the kind of thing that I think long after this is over, people are going to have a memory of everything that you're doing during this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a good time to kind of reevaluate what you're doing to support your partners, and reach out and ask if any additional assistance is needed.
I would add one more thing on that same note. Not always talking about business. And when you are talking about business, this is the thing that other clients have told me for years. You can't make everything about money, right? Like, I get it. You're the partner, so you're getting paid by the client. But just be transparent and upfront about all the costs. Don't constantly come back and try to say, hey, we could also do this for, you know, X more dollars, or always trying to be upselling something. That is very wearing on any relationship. And I don't know if you've had partners in the past do that with you, but I've seen it, and it does not help a relationship.
Yep. It goes back to the job description thing. You don't want an employee who says, that's not in my job description, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's some things that partners can think about. Let's move over to the client side. What should clients do to, you know, help me help you, right? To build that relationship and make it a little stronger.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, my advice to the suppliers or to the partners were sharing the company's wins and losses. And you can't really do that if you don't know what the wins and losses are, right? So as a client, we have to be super transparent about what we're trying to do as a business and what we're doing that's good and what we're doing that maybe isn't so good. And even if the partner is only contributing to a very small piece of your overall strategy, the partner should know what that strategy is so that they understand that they are influencing your success and share in that success. So I think it's really important to be transparent.
I love that. Let's talk about getting a client if you're a partner. How do you find the next great client? how should people be looking at, you know, ways to get attention, especially during these strange times, to find that next great client that that they're going to serve?
Yeah, this is so tough. I wish I had the perfect formula. The perfect formula isn't send me 15 LinkedIn messages and wait for me to respond.
Yes, connect with me on LinkedIn and then send me a sales pitch 2 minutes later. Yes.
Right. Well, I always joke. I'm like, LinkedIn is like the Tinder of a business. It's like, hey, let's connect. I want to sell with you. And and maybe that's something to remember. Maybe you take a page out of dating, right? Where it's like, you don't just say, hey, I want to marry you, right? They build the relationship first. And so the people that I end up having really good conversations with and end up moving forward with, they're focused on the building the relationship and understanding the business and doing their research before they're like, hey, I have this really good thing that I know is perfect for your business.
Yeah. I love getting those from people who think I do something completely different than what I do. So it's like, oh, so you're obviously not even researching anything before you reach out to people. Got it. That's a big fail right there. What are some other ways people can get your attention or the attention of other people who are in executive roles in franchise systems these days?
Yeah, as a partner, I'd lean on your current clients to help spread that word of mouth on the client side. I always am going to trust another brand who has used the partnership to their advantage before I trust just the partner saying we're great, right? Mm. So rely on your current customers to do some of that word of mouth marketing. Think creatively about how you can break through. And again, I wish I had the perfect answer for you, but you know, get out of cold calling and start to build relationships prior to just pitching your business, I think is the best advice that I can give.
Oh, that's so good. Especially in franchising. I've been in some other industries before I got into franchising, and I can say franchising is much more of a long-term relationship building type of a structure than anything else I've ever seen before. I mean, you could be talking to people for a couple of years before they finally realize that you as a partner are credible and you have a good reputation and other people recommend you. And oh, by the way, everybody in franchising talks. They all talk about you behind mm-hmm. your back. Remember that, people. So before somebody says, let's go with you, they're going to talk to everybody they know, and they're going to be talking about you. So something to remember. Before we go, Kristen, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier about talking in terms of partners and partnerships and relationships and getting away from this idea of vendors. And I appreciate that so much because every time I hear the word vendor, I think of the guy at Wrigley Field who's selling hot dogs and beer. Tell me a little bit more about that terminology and why you see that and a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that if I'm going to work with a partner, I'm going to trust them to either make or break my job, essentially, right? If I'm choosing to work with somebody and they mess up, that's a reflection of me, right? And if they do well, that's a reflection of me. And because I'm trusting them with my reputation, I better view them as a partner rather than just somebody who's going to do everything that I say and is more of a vendor. And I think that that's another thing to lean into. In my head, a vendor, it just does what I say, right? Whereas a partner helps to advise and push back and challenge and work up in a team setting rather than just a doer setting.
I love that idea. One thing I wanted to mention too, for the suppliers who are listening out there in the franchise space, if you're looking for a little extra coaching, or it's really some peer-to-peer coaching, I've put together a group with Alicia Visconti of FranServe. We're calling it the Franchise Lean In Group. We get together a couple of times a month, share ideas, help each other out with some problems, you know, maybe hopefully finding some new business for each other and that kind of thing. So if you want some more information on joining our group, there is a fee, but you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Facebook or just comment here on the Social Geek Radio website comments for the Franchise Lean In. Would love to talk to you guys about that too. One other thing I wanted to mention, a site that I'm recommending for all marketers, especially those working in franchise brands, is oneupweb.com/franchise. This is actually a group that I met last year at MITCON, and great organization. They do a lot of cool things in franchising, and they've got a free franchise marketing resource that is called the Franchise Marketing Playbook. It's a guide for franchisors to support their marketing efforts at all levels of a system. They've got tips for working with franchisees, and they also have some current and post-COVID insights. OneUpWeb is an enterprise digital marketing agency and AOR for many great franchises with over 20 years of digital marketing experience. Learn more at oneupweb.com/franchise. Kristen, before we go, give us a little update on what's shaking at Massage Lux. What are you guys up to, and where can people find you these days?
Yeah, we're really busy, but it's good work, Jack. I am loving it. I feel super energized. We're about to roll out a new website, so that's exciting.
Yeah. And
we got a lot. Yeah, we got a lot happening, and the growth has been pretty remarkable. I'm really excited to see the brand grow. It's well deserved, that's for sure. And our franchisees are doing really well during this all. So you can find us at massagelux.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to talk to you more about it.
Excellent. And you'll be back very soon with some other updated marketing topics, helping me out here on Social Geek, right?
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Thanks for being here. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.